I'm honored to have been invited here. I'm honored that you would take time in your schedule for lunch to be here. I've been a counselor for 28 years. And I've discovered with the storm that I've experienced that the counseling books that I'm familiar with and the theories and paradigms and frameworks that I have taught for years have not been comforting to me in my storm. But the greatest book that has brought me comfort and peace is God's Word. And what I want to do is to share with you, as I did on yesterday, some insights from God's Word as to how to make it through a storm, or how to maintain your faith in the midst of an experience that you're going through. I want to say this. If you haven't been through a storm, if you haven't been through one storm or two or three, you just keep living. Your storm is coming. And for those who shared with me yesterday your storm and how you are dealing with your storm, and some of you are still in the midst of the storm, just hang on in there. Amen?
Amen.
Just hang on in there. You know, when you're going through a storm, it can cause you at times to be absolutely speechless. It can cause you to be confused. It can cause you to be numb. Because when the doctor told Rhonda she had 3 months to live, I was speechless. What can you say? What can you say? And for my sweet Rhonda, within 5 or 6 minutes after total silence in that office, what she said to me, it was like God told her, share this with Sammy. If our faith can't sustain us in a time like this, then we've been living a lie. What powerful statement. What can you say after that? Give her a hug and a kiss and say, baby, we're going to make it. It was that statement that helped me put everything in the right perspective. We're going to go through things that we don't understand why. And I shared with you yesterday how Habakkuk experienced some things in his life and he questioned God. It's all right to question God about things we don't understand. And we're going to go through those things in this life that we don't understand why, God. Why is this happening to me? God, I serve you faithfully. God, I try to live the best I can. Why am I going through this? And then you even sometimes start thinking, you know, there are other people that don't even serve you, God. Why are they not going through this? You see, the mind is powerful. And then you may even get to the point you start thinking, well, what have I done wrong? What have I done wrong? That God is allowing this storm to affect my life. What have I done wrong? You see, when we're going through things, we're reaching for answers. And sometimes we don't understand things. And sometimes we do understand things. I want you to look at a verse as we use it as a foundation, and then we'll spring into the points I want to make. It's in Psalms chapter 11 and verse number 3. There's a question being raised that I want you to think about. And David says this, when the foundations are shaken, when you're going through a storm, when your world is turned upside down, what can the righteous do? You see, this is what David's friends, they were messing with David. Because David was going through a storm in his life. And David says in verse 1, I'm going to trust in the Lord. And the friends were coming back at David and says, what's God going to do for you? All you can do is just flee to the mountain, run to the mountain. God can't do anything for you. When the foundation, they say to David, when the foundations of the righteous people are shaken, what can you do? I tell you, there's something we can do. Amen. For those who believe in God, for those who trust in God, when things happen in your life, we have someone to whom we can turn to. We have someone to whom we can go. I can't understand how a person cannot believe in God, because if you don't believe in God, when a storm is going through your life, to whom do you turn? If I didn't have God in my life when Rhonda took her last breath, I'm going to be honest with you. If it had not been for God bringing me peace and comfort, I never had a drink of alcohol in my life. But I tell you what, staying intoxicated probably would have helped. Perhaps some other drugs. I don't condone that. I'm just saying I can understand why people turn to alcohol and drugs, because it takes that numbness and it helps you to make it through what you're going through, because you don't have hope. But I don't need alcohol. I don't need drugs. I've got God. And when you got God, even in the midst of a storm, you know everything's going to be all right. But sometimes you waver. Sometimes there's doubt. And that's when you need to get your faith back up. Amen? And so things are going to happen to us. And like I said, if you've been through one storm, you think, man, if we're only going to have one storm in life, I've been through mine, so I don't have to go through another. Oh, you just wait. There's another storm waiting for you. And you may have gone through two. But today you need to prepare yourself, because there's someone either standing or sitting in this room. Maybe this year you're going to have a storm. Are you ready for it? Are you ready to encounter something that's going to shake you like you've never been shaken before? That's going to take you almost like someone has pulled out your heart or hit you in the gut or taken a baseball bat or hit you across the face with it. It's coming. And you need to prepare your children. You need to prepare your children for these storms, because they can come at any time. But what can the righteous do, Sammy? What can those who believe in God, those who trust in God, what can we do? Let me just quickly share with you the three things I shared very quickly with you yesterday. And then I'll share three more with you today. I don't think we'll have time to do four. We'll try to do four tomorrow. But let's look at the three I shared with you yesterday. The first, you got to believe. That's the foundation. You got to have faith that you're going to make it through what you're going through. All things are possible to him that what? Believe. Without faith, without believing, you're doomed already. You got to believe you're going to make it through it. Every day you get up, I'm going to be happy again one day. The voidness in my life is going to be filled one day. I know it. I know, because I serve a God who is what? Able. The God that I serve, he is able to do all things. I know that. One day this void in my heart and the trials you're going through, whatever you're going through, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. But then the second thing, and brother, I've forgotten your name, but you got to tell me your name. Jimmy. Jimmy and I, we've been corresponding, because Jimmy has helped me, because he's been through a storm. And he said he's found joy. And that's number two. And when you got joy, you just go around the house singing. Singing, because it comforts you. And that's what you got to have when you're going through a storm. You got to rejoice. You got to be happy. Every day, you can't go through life being sad, depressed. You got to get out and enjoy life. And every morning I wake up, I say it's going to be a great day. I don't know about tomorrow. You see, I just take a day at a time. Now, I'm just being honest with you. I don't know about tomorrow, but today I'm going to be happy. And I'm not going to let anyone or anything take away my joy today. Every day I get up this way. Every day I get up out of the bed happy. I go to bed happy. And I use the word happy, and I'm not as happy as I was, but I'm content. I'm at peace. And I'm being honest, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm at peace, because I know God is able. But rejoice, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, he says, rejoice how often? In what situation? Any situation you're in. Whether you're going through health problems, whether you're going through financial problems, relationship problems, whatever you're going through with your children, whatever you're going through, be happy. Be happy. Be happy. And then number three, he said to Mark, when you're going through trials, you got to use what God has given every one of us. What? Two wings. Back in Henderson, Tennessee, we sing that song, Two Wings. Two wings. God has given us two wings. God has given us some tools. Some tools to use that we can soar to a place where Satan can't go. Satan can't touch us when we're in the arms of God. Amen? And when I'm in the arm of God, everything's going to be all right. Just like when I was a little boy, when every time I would hurt myself, guess who I would run to? Mama. And when I get in mama's arm, mom could do anything. I don't want you, Dad. I want mama. Because when mama would kiss that sore, it's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right as long as you're in the arms of God. Now, where are we going to go now? What's number four? The fourth one is this. If you have your copy of God's word, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And I want to read some verses today instead of quoting them because these verses are so powerful. Hebrews chapter 4. And here's the fourth insight. How to make it through a storm is to remember you serve a great high priest that understands what you're going through. Remember you serve a great high priest. You serve a God who put on flesh, who came to this earth. And Jesus is not just a man. He was both God and man. And do you understand that? And he came to this earth and he experienced everything that we have experienced. He's encountered everything that we have encountered. And therefore he understands. Here is God that understands what it's like to go through a storm. Jesus went through some storms. We're going to look at one of his storms in just a moment. And he understands. And so when we cry to him, we're not crying to a God that doesn't comprehend. We're crying to a God that understands. And that's what the Hebrew writer says in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confessions. For we do not have a high priest. We do not have a God who cannot sympathize, who cannot feel. There's a lady here today that shared with me that she listened to the lesson yesterday and that she could feel the expressions and the pain that I was going through and the comfort. And that's what Jesus can feel. He can feel. He understands what we're going through. And it makes a difference when somebody knows what you're going through. Amen? Amen. We serve a God who understands and knows what we're going through. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. He can sympathize with our storms. But look over at Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse 17 and verse 18. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brother. He had to put on flesh. God made him like us with all our same desires and so forth, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Verse 18, for in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, going through trials and tribulation, going through storms, he is now able to do what? Aid. He's able to help those who are going through their trials. Those who are going through. We serve a great high priest that understands what we're going through. And I am so thankful to God that when I pray, I'm praying to somebody to understand my heart and understand my pain. And he's saying, Sammy, it's going to be all right. Now, turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 34. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ has gone back to heaven. And you know what he's doing in heaven? He's talking to God on our behalf. And on my mind, I can see God saying, Jesus saying to God, let's help Sammy. His heart is heavy. Let's help him, Father. Let's help him. Let's help him bring through this. We have someone up there in heaven who's pulling for us. Who's pulling for us because he understands. Now turn to Mark chapter 6. And I have to go to the next point. If I don't, we'll be here all day. But look in Mark chapter 6. I want to read two verses to you. Mark chapter 6, I want to look at verse 45 and 46. This is Jesus' storm. Immediately, Mark used this word 40 times in the book of Mark. He had just fed 5,000 people. Okay? Jesus just fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. The disciples had just seen him raise a young girl from the dead in Mark chapter 4 and Mark chapter 5. And in Mark chapter 5, he also saw him cast a demon out of a man. And Mark chapter 2, he healed up. Jesus now is at the peak of his popularity. People are coming from everywhere, from miles and miles around, to see and hear Jesus. Let me tell you this. When everything is going great in your life, get ready. When everything is going great in your life, get ready. Did you hear what I just said? When you think that everything in your thing couldn't get any better? March, as I told you yesterday, Ron and I were going to Washington, D.C. And we were talking in the car in that 12-hour drive, how much we love one another, how thankful and blessed we are. We had no idea that this was our life was about to change. We were talking about the future of being together and what we were going to do together. We had no idea. And I was just telling you how blessed and God has been good to us. Had no idea. Jesus is at the peak of his popularity. Immediately, he made. Look at that word. He made his disciples get into the boat. Go before him to the other side to Pisidia. While he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent them away, he departed where? To the mountain to pray. Something's going on in Jesus' life. He's troubled by something. He just fed 5,000. He tells the disciples, I need you to go on. Get into the boat, go on to cross the Sea of Galilee, go on to Pisidia, go on over there. I need to talk to my daddy. There's something on my heart. I need to talk to daddy. You see, in my life, when I needed to talk to someone on earth, it's been Rhonda and my mother. I buried my mother March the 18th of that same year. The same year. And so when Rhonda passed away, I wanted to call Mom, but I couldn't. Jesus is at a point in his life that he didn't talk to his daddy. I don't know what's going on in Jesus' life, but there's something that's troubling him. He tells them to go on. You see, Jesus had a storm that was brewing in his life, and I don't really understand what's all going on, but turn to John chapter 6. John kind of helps us out here. You see, what is it that's causing Jesus where he just tells us, I don't need to see you. I can't talk to you right now, Peter. Bartholomew, go on. I need to be alone. When you're going through a storm, you need to talk to somebody that can help you. That's God. Look in John chapter 6, verse 15. If you look at verse 10, it talks about Jesus just finished feeding the multitude, the 5,000. But look at verse 15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, he departed again. To where? He's been to the mountain, not once. Something is troubling Jesus. He's gone back to the mountain. He's been to the mountain a couple of times. What is it that's troubling Jesus? So could it be the cross? I don't know. Could it be that he's confused that his disciples can't get it, that he is the Messiah, that this kingdom is not of his world, and they're going to try. You see, the apostles were in that number that were going to try to force him to be king. I don't know what it is, but Jesus is troubled by something. But what did he do? He goes to the Father. Jesus understands what we're going through when we have troubles. And that's why we can pray to him. And that's why I want you to leave here to know that when you're going through a storm, you have a great high priest in heaven, and he knows and he understands. We're not praying to a God that doesn't have a clue of what we're going through. We have a God who understands what we're going through. Well, I've got time for one more. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. I promise you I'll try to speed up tomorrow, but I'm going to quit on time. In Mark chapter 2, how can we make it through a storm? Because we have great friends like Leroy's friends. You say, Leroy? That's a good Jewish name. Turn to Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, this man, I name him Leroy. Thank God for friends like Leroy friends. That's how you make it through a storm. Thank God for friends. Everybody needs friends like Leroy's friend. You see, Leroy was paralyzed. But he had four friends that heard that Jesus was going to be in the city of Capernaum. And you know what these friends did? They got together. They got together and said, you know what? Leroy, paralyzed. And there's a man coming to town tomorrow named Jesus who can heal you. And I can see them going over at 4 o'clock that morning. See, they're going to have to walk to where Jesus is. And they're knocking on the door, and Leroy said, hey, man, why are y'all here? Come go with us. And say, come go with us. Say, we're going to carry you. And can't you see them? Four men carrying Leroy 2 or 3 miles to get to where Jesus is. And when they get there, the house is full. They can't get in. But you know what good friends would do? What Leroy's friend did. They climbed on top of the man's house, took the roof off to get to Jesus. You see, that's what friends would do. Amen. And when the Bible says, when Jesus saw their faith, because Leroy had to have faith too to let them carry him up though. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, be made whole. And he was immediately healed. What kind of friend are you to your friends when they're going through a storm? What kind of friend are you? You know someone right now that's going through a storm. What kind of friend are you? You see, friends help friends when they're going through a storm. And the reason you're able to make it through a storm is not only because you have a God that understands, but you have friends who care. Friends who are willing to make sacrifices. Friends who are willing to go out of their way. Friends who are willing to endure to help you make it. I wouldn't be able to stand before you right now if it had not been for thousands among thousands of friends I have who've been praying for me, who've sent me cards, who have called and who have texted and who have emailed me, letting me know, Sammy, we're praying for you. Even to this day, friends are still saying that. And I thank God, even when I get here, people are saying, Sammy, we've been praying for you. Thank you. I wouldn't be able to talk about this if it were not for friends like you. And that's why Leroy was healed. Because guess what? If those four friends had not gotten together, Leroy would still be what? Paralyzed. But Leroy was walking around running somewhere. He ran back home. They carried him there, but he ran back home. And can't you see him getting back home and running to his wife and to his children? And everybody was happy. You see that all because of four friends. Be a friend like Leroy. I've got 2 minutes. I might as well go ahead and give you the third one. And that is, let me say that very quickly. Go back to Mark chapter 6. And I want you to look at verse 48. When Jesus sent the multitude to the other side, he's in the mountain. They're crossing the Sea of Galilee. And out in the middle of the sea now, they've been rowing all night to get to the other side. You remember that? The third point I want you to remember, we serve a God who's watching over us. We're serving God with an all-seeing eye. Any of you remember that song we used to sing, there's an eye watching you? Yeah. Now, as a little boy, I used to be terrified of that song. But what we're about to see is that in life, there's a God watching over us. Jesus is up in the mountain, about 4 miles away out in the Sea of Galilee. The disciples out there struggling. Look at verse 48. Then he what? Saw them. 4 miles, 4.5 miles away. He's up in a mountain. But Jesus, God, is able to see his disciples struggling. There's a storm in the sea. He can see his disciples in the storm. What's my point? We serve a God in Psalms 33, verse 13, that looks down from the windows of heaven to observe the sons of God. God is watching over us. God knows what's going on in your life. He's just waiting on you to say, God, help me. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. We serve a God who sees the coming and the goings of every man on earth. God knows what's going on in our life. And what he's saying, he was just waiting tonight as I call upon him. And I can't tell you how he did it. But I told you yesterday, I felt a sense of calmness that came over me. God is watching over your life. And when you're going through a storm, put your trust in God. David's friend was saying, David, when your world is turned upside down, what are you going to do, David? David said, I'm going to what? I'm going to trust in the Lord. Because God is watching over you and God is watching over me. There's a storm waiting for you. There's a storm with your name on it. Tell you what, you got a God in heaven that understands. Remember number two, not only do you have a God in heaven that understands, but you also, you have some friends like Leroy. And then you have a God that sees everything that's going on in your life. May God bless you. I'll share with you tomorrow the last four. May God bless you.